This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
9:02 on this Saturday morning. Time now for Sports Saturday, brought to you by Prairie Farms Dairy in Carlinville. Taste the homemade goodness of Prairie Farms. By Mark Steeren, your State Farm Insurance agent in Litchfield. Kurt's 24-hour heavy and light-duty towing in Litchfield. By Bruce Webb Insurance in Farmersville and Raymond. Nancy's Pizza in Litchfield. The Huff Funeral Homes in Hillsboro, Raymond, and Farmersville. By CTI Tech, bringing 1-gig internet to Hillsboro and beyond. Hillsboro Area Hospital, your front door to a world of healthcare. By Garrell's Auto Body and Repair in Litchfield. And by the Litchfield National Bank. And on this Saturday morning, we join WSMI's Tim Mize.
Thank you very much, David Jenkins. And what happened to 2019? It flew right by the final Saturday the year.
It's gone.
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 He gone.
Of course, we got all sorts of holiday tournament basketball across the listening area today. Abe's Rumble continues up in Springfield today. Some of our area teams showing very well up there. Auburn, Vandalia, and Porta all wrestling in the championship round of 16 today. Hillsboro and Litchfield, they're in the bronze bracket up at Abe's Rumble in Springfield. So much to get to today. We're going to talk with Darren Deneve, the athletic director at Carlinville High School. We'll talk to Darren about the Carlinville Holiday Tournament. We're also going to talk with Don Borgini coming up around 9:30. Of course, Don was instrumental in getting this turf project underway at Carlinville. He was kind of in charge of the fundraising, I guess, would be the best way to put that. So we'll talk to Don Borgini about that. They have broke ground on the new turf project at the football facility in Carlinville, and they plan to be playing on the turf for the start of the 2020 season. So we'll talk to Don Borgini about that coming up later on in the hour. Before we get too much further, I want to remind folks the Elks Hoop Shoot going on this morning at the DiMuzio Sports Center in Carlinville. You still have about 25 minutes to get over there and get yourself registered. That starts at 9:30. The competition begins at 10 o'clock this morning. The cost is completely free. It's a free throw competition put on by the Elks Club. It's the Elks Hoop Shoot, open to any boy or girl ages 8 to 13. That is this morning at the DiMuzio Sports Center in Carlinville. So get out and participate in that free throw contest. They're always fun and a chance to get some bragging rights. And if you win the local competition, you'll move on to a different stage and eventually wind up at a national competition. So that happens this morning at the DiMuzio Sports Center in Carlinville at 10 o'clock. So we're going to talk all sorts of holiday hoops today. But, David, before we get too much deeper in the program, of course, this being the last Saturday of the year, you know, we want to take a little look back at the year that was. You know, a lot of great things happened on the high school sports scene in 2019. Now, you think back to the beginning of last school year, so it would be the 18-19 school year. The South Central Conference had one of the best runs they've had across the spectrum. Every sport, boys and girls, we saw state trophies brought home. We saw all sorts of deep postseason runs. Just last year alone, the South Central had a Final Four team in football, in girls basketball, and in softball. That's a pretty good run.
It's a very good run. Nice way to end the decade.
Yeah, and of course, you know, the track programs have always been solid in the South Central Conference. It just was a very good year, and it was kind of highlighted, at least from the WSMI perspective, with the Hillsboro Lady Hilltoppers getting all the way to the state tournament this past February, early March, and they took home fourth place, of course, but that was a magical postseason ride they took us all on last year. Of course, the triple overtime win in the sectional against Pleasant Plains. They knocked off Greenville in the sectional final and eventually got all the way to the Super, beat Midwest Central there before they wound up at the state tournament. Actually led Chicago Marshall at the half before Marshall pulled away in the second half and got the win there. But it was just, it was one of those years across the high school sports scene where we were fortunate to see a lot of good competition. And obviously the biggest blow for us was losing Terry. He passed away this past spring, and you know, I still have people coming up and asking about Terry and how everyone at the station is doing. And I just always say the same thing. You know, we're we're hanging in there. We're doing the best that we can. It's just, you know, the work gets done, but it's the personality and the man that can't be replaced and never will be. So that was certainly the biggest story of 2019 was the passing of Terry, but that's not what Terry would want 2019 to be remembered for. He would want it again to be about the kids, and that continues to be the main focus here at the radio station as we move forward, looking ahead to 2020. That will remain our focus. So 2019 in the books, and it's the end of a decade. And David, I've seen some discussions about, does the decade end on year zero or year nine? There doesn't seem to be a consensus. Now,
it should be.
Technically speaking, they say that the decade should end on zero because there was no year zero. So the year one started the decade. But if you think about it, that's just strange because say you end the decade on a zero. That, mm-hmm. talking about the 80s, you know, you got 81, 82, all the way up to 89, then all of a sudden you got 1990.
Right.
In there, in the decade of the 80s.
You don't include, no, I don't know that anybody includes the year 2000 in the 90s.
No.
Right.
I think most people line up with what we're saying, where the decade ends
yeah.
with the nine. But technically speaking, since there was no year zero.
Right.
See, that was a great Seinfeld episode.
Yeah.
When they're talking about the millennium.
Yeah.
No year zero.
That's right. No, it's absolutely right.
So unless your party is 1 year late. And a little lame.
Yeah. I would go with, obviously there's no consensus, but I would go with the decade is starting next year. And this is these are the final few days of the 2010s. There's still a lot of people who are saying like 2019, and last year said 2018. And
that bothers me.
Basically since like 2012, I've been saying, you know, 2012.
That's when I made the switch to. It's just more natural for me to say.
It's easier in my opinion.
And especially once we get to 2020, I don't want to hear 2020.
Well, then you'll be 2021, 2022, 2023.
Where does it end?
Yeah, where does it end? Come on, people.
See, a lot of that, they say, goes back to the movie, 2001 A Space Odyssey.
Uh-huh.
And I guess there was Stanley Kubrick actually had conversations and discussions about whether to say 2001 or 2001.
Yeah.
And the thought is, if they would have gone with 2001, then that would be how people would refer to it now.
And 2001 does not sound all that bad. It
sounds good, though.
Well, you couldn't say 2000.
But no one ever said it's 1,999.
Right. That's right.
We say, you know.
Or even 1,999.
Back in 1,999.
Yeah.
It was a simpler time.
It's true.
You know, I was joking, but it really was. Like, 1999 was, in fact, a simpler time.
Well, you know, like for all the people who were freaking out.
The internet was just Y2K, what a crock that was.
The world's going to end.
It was a simpler time. I'm not saying we were smarter.
Right.
But it was simpler. All thinking the world was going to come crashing down because we're switching over from 19 to 2000.
It's true. St. Louis had a winning football franchise for 1 year.
Boy. It was more than 1 year.
In the 90s, it was not.
That's right.
In 99, it was the 1 year they had a good football franchise.
That is very true.
Yeah.
Yeah, they were the worst team of the decade in the 90s.
Yeah.
Minus that last one.
Just about.
Or second to last year of the decade, depending on how you break it down, David.
Well, we're going to go ahead and we're going to make it official because, you know, we create the rules of society here
right.
on this show.
Right.
So the decade is ending in a few days.
There you go. You'll get no argument.
You heard it here last. We'll put this argument to rest.
There
it's
it
over.
Is. It's done. Hey, the Carlinville Holiday Tournament, day three today. We'll have live coverage beginning at 6 o'clock tonight on FM 106. You've got Carlinville taking on Calhoun, and then Staunton will face Gillespie, both games live on FM 106. And those are semifinals as well. The Staunton-Gillespie winner is into the championship game as they are both 2-0 in pool play. Carlinville, with that win over Litchfield last night, is 1-1. In pool play. So if they could upset Calhoun tonight, they would be into the championship game with the head-to-head victory over Calhoun. That will be a tall order, and I say tall, David, with, I guess, tongue-in-cheek, because Calhoun goes 6'8", 6'7", on the front line. And they're just juniors.
Ooh, Slippery could be next year, too.
They're talented. They are talented.
So I would assume they're the favorites in this tournament coming in?
I would say so.
You can't judge players just based on height alone. But
no, but they're good.
Yeah.
They're skilled. They won the tournament last year, come in undefeated this year. Staunton is the top seed, but yeah, I do think that Calhoun is probably the favorite to win the tournament this year. If we could get to a Staunton-Calhoun final on Monday night, that would be interesting because Ethan Booth for Staunton has had a phenomenal start to his senior year. He's 6'5", he's lanky, he's long, he's athletic, and that would be a really fun matchup to see how he would go against the two tall trees for Calhoun. But Gillespie's going to have a lot to say about that. I don't know if you knew this, David, but Gillespie and Staunton, they're a little bit of rivals. I don't know
if there's a lot of love lost there.
They might not really care for each other too much. It's possible.
A little bit.
It's possible.
It's kind of an old rivalry.
A little bit.
Goes back a little bit.
On the girls' side, we got two championship semifinals. Gillespie will face Greenfield Northwestern. That's at noon today. That's the first game of the day in the high school gym. And then Carlinville takes on Litchfield at 4:30. The winners will meet in the championship on Monday night. And we'll have championship coverage. Girls at 6, boys at 7:30 Monday night right here on FM 106 and streaming online at WSMIRadio.com. We need to get to a break here on Sports Saturday. When we come back, we will talk with Carlinville Athletic Director Darren Denis following these messages on Sports Saturday.
Back to Sports Saturday here on WSMI, and we rejoin Tim Mize.
Thank you very much, David Jenkins. We're going to have a conversation with Don Borgini coming up a little bit later in the hour as the new turf project at Carlinville is officially underway. They had not an official groundbreaking, not that I'm aware of anyway, but they have got the initial work underway. I know there were some skid loaders out in the field last week or maybe 10 days ago. And when I was at the school the last couple days here, you know, when you walk from the high school to the middle school, when you make the turn towards the middle school, you get a look right out towards the football field. And you can see there's definitely some work happening, and they hope to be playing on a turf field by the start of the 2020 season. So we'll talk to Don Borgini about that coming up later on in the hour. In the process of making connection with Darren Deneve right now, the athletic director at Carlinville High School, as they are hosting the 54th annual Carlinville Holiday Basketball Tournament. Now, if you've been looking in the program this week, there was a slight misprint on today's schedule. So this is the schedule today at the Carlinville Holiday Tournament. It will start at noon in the high school gym with Gillespie taking on Greenfield Northwestern. That is a championship semifinal. Then at 1:30 in the middle school gym, it's Bunker Hill against South County. At 3 o'clock in the middle school gym, Nokomis will face Staunton. And then at 4:30 for the girls, back into the high school gym with Carlinville taking on Litchfield. That also a championship semifinal. The boys' pool play for today, 1:30, Bunker Hill against Wood River, all these games in the high school gym. At 3 o'clock, Litchfield faces Hillsboro. Then at 6, it is Carlinville and Calhoun. At 7:30, Staunton and Gillespie. And Darren Deneve is on the phone with us right now. And Darren, I don't know how long you were connected, but did I get that right?
Yes, sir. Appears right. I heard you say one thing that maybe isn't quite right earlier this morning, though. You know, the Carlinville-Calhoun, Hillsboro-Litchfield pool isn't quite a situation where if Carlinville beats Calhoun, you know, they would.
Oh, because if there's a third 2-1 team,
it's possible Hillsboro could beat Litchfield and Carlinville could beat Calhoun, and then we would have 3 2-1s. But you have the times right, and you know, we'll just work on that free throw business if we have to later. And we have three pools where we definitely don't have to worry about any tiebreakers, but that pool is a possible tiebreaker situation. Hey, speaking of numbers, you know, I love the math talk, you guys. We're talking all these years and decades,
yes,
and numbers, and oh my gosh, and you know, it's exciting to just listen to you talk math on the radio.
You're a numbers guy, Darren. I know you are, and I know you are just hoping we get 3 2-1 teams in that pool so you can do some arithmetic today.
I don't know if that's true, but you know, and then, you know, you're a Seinfeld fan. I'm a Seinfeld guy. I don't know if your new manium has been Jerry free, but, you know, I hope it's been all right for you.
It's been solid. I enjoyed my Festivus celebration. I had a good time.
That's great. great.
So do you fall in line with what we were saying, where the decade begins this week, or are we still another year of the decade?
I do. It's just weird to think of, like you say, 1990 as being in the 80s. That just doesn't make any sense. Yeah.
No, okay. we can't get down with that type of activity.
Hey, just another quick note. I heard David Jenkins there with just a little bit of a Hawk Harrelson tribute there. He said he gone, and so as a White Sox fan, I wanted to make sure that didn't go unnoticed either.
Oh, you like the White Sox, Darren? I didn't know that.
Oh, absolutely.
You hide it so well.
He's going in going in the Hall of Fame this year, isn't he?
Say again?
He's going in the Hall of Fame this year,
isn't he? Yeah. What do they call that? The Ford Frick Award, I think.
Yes, Ford C. Frick.
Talking with Darren Dineen, the athletic director at Carletonville High School. Of course, Darren's been there. How long have you been there now, Darren? 15 years?
Close. This is my 14th.
Mm-hmm. We're rounded up to even numbers.
Sure.
Or odd, whichever way you look at it. Yeah. Yes, exactly right. The 54th installment of this tournament, Darren, and we talked about it before, but running a boys and a girls tournament at the same time. You guys run it so smoothly that a lot of times it just kind of glosses over my head that we got two tournaments going on at the same time here.
Yeah, it's pretty unique. I don't really know of another town out there that does it quite the same way that we do. And it keeps us busy these 4 days, but it's one of these things where I think a lot of folks look forward to it every year from these local towns. And it's a good event for Carletonville. It's a good event for our local schools. It's a good event for our local businesses. And so it's a nice deal for the whole area.
On the boys' side, the addition of Calhoun last year was a great addition because they are a loaded 1A team with the Twin Towers of Eberlin and Nelson at 6'8", 6'7". So I would really encourage people around the area to come out and watch this team because it's not often, Darren, that we get to see a small school with that type of size.
Yeah, that's true. They're an exciting basketball team, and we hope we have some great games today. Like you say, I think it's possible on Monday night especially we'll have a interesting matchup, it's one of those things where, you know, you like to come support the local teams, but sometimes it's nice to see somebody you haven't seen before either.
Darren, talk a little bit about the tricky nature of seeding holiday tournaments, because I know when the seeding happens, you're talking about some teams that have only played three or four games.
And in Calhoun's case, they had only played one game. The boys' side is trickier than the girls' side usually. The girls have had more games in when we go to seed it. We like to seed it maybe just after a couple days of the Thanksgiving break, and, you know, we like to give people some idea when they're going to play. You know, it is Christmas time, and so you like to have some sort of a schedule in place in case people want to schedule some family events. And so, like you say, on the boys' side, it's hard to seed. We have some teams who don't play in a Thanksgiving tournament, and so they haven't played many games. And so you just got to, I think, rely on what you've seen the previous year from their younger players and just the small sample size of what you've seen this year. And so it's tricky. The girl side, honestly, is easier to see than the boys for the coaches just because of the nature of the schedule. But I think, you know, really the coaches did a very good job seeding it this year. It's working out almost exactly how it was seeded. So.
And I don't know how many years we can go back in a row here, but it seems like the girls' tournament for a long number of years consecutively has had 2 to 3 legit teams in it, which that is not always the case for a holiday tournament. But the girls' tournament at Carletonville has been a fantastic field for a number of years now.
Yeah, I agree. It seems that way. We've had very competitive championship games and third-place games and so on over the years, we hope to have the same situation going this coming Monday. Girls basketball in the area has just been pretty strong. There's just no denying that. The South Central Conference and the schools in our county and so on have been pretty strong lately, and so it makes for good basketball.
Talking with Darren Dineen, the athletic director and girls basketball coach at Carletonville High School. The tournament will tip off at noon today with girls action in the high school. Jim Gillespie faces Greenfield Northwestern in game number 1, and then we are off and rolling with 7 more contests to follow. And Darren, the wonderful thing about the Carletonville tournament, of course, you got both gyms, but you don't have to go outside to get from one to the other.
That's true. You can walk in either side and walk through the hallways here at Carletonville High School and Middle School and get to one gym or the other for one low, low price. And so come on out. We'd be happy to have happy to have as many fans as possible.
You're going to talk a little bit about the number of volunteers. It takes a village, as they say, to put on an event like this.
It does. Our booster club is instrumental in obtaining volunteers to take tickets for us, and for that matter, they run our concession stand. We've got folks that work for our cafeteria who put on our hospitality room. We've got several people that come and work the scores table. It's our kids, for that matter, our basketball players, grades 7 through 12, and our cheerleaders and our dance line, they help at the concession stand. And so it's an incredible number of people that get organized to help out and make this event what it is, and we certainly thank them for it.
Darren, this is off topic, but did I hear last night is that the Carlinville cheerleaders are going to be part of one of the big college bowls?
They are. You've caught me off guard here. I don't know which bowl it is, but yes, they, oh my gosh.
I think it's the Outback Bowl.
It might be. I'm sorry. You've caught me off guard on that one, but yes, I walk by that newspaper clipping on a daily basis, and it's escaping me as we talk. But yeah, they're headed south.
Good place somewhere to be this time of year.
Yeah, absolutely. So, Erica Gibble is our cheerleading coach, and she's been our cheerleading coach for several years, and she does a great job. Those girls are very well prepared, and they practice hard, and so it's a great honor for them.
It's not math related, so I suppose we'll give you a pass.
Okay.
Yeah, he's not the geography teacher. Honestly.
What's that?
You're not the geography teacher.
No, I'm not. That's Coach Reels on my staff. He's the geography guy, so maybe maybe he can work that out for you.
Darren, let's talk a little bit about your squad. As record-wise, you guys are off to a very good start. But I know from a coaching perspective, you don't necessarily judge how you think your team's playing based on your record. So as we sit here just before the calendar turns to 2020, thoughts on your team thus far?
Well, overall, we're pleased. We're guarding really well. We're holding teams to a pretty low scoring average, and we're pretty disciplined defensively, and I like to think it's hard to score on us. Offensively, we have nights just like anybody else where we shoot well sometimes and sometimes not so much, and the challenge there is to be able to just sort of grind through it on those nights when you're not shooting the ball well. But we're a balanced team. You know, we've got 7 girls who get significant time, and I don't know that anyone's averaging 10 points a game. Maybe Gracie Reels is really close, but we've got probably 5 girls between 7 and 10 points a game, and we're getting rebounds kind of by committee as well. And so it's always nice when you do have that kind of balance. It's fun to coach, and everybody feels like they're a big part of it, and they are. And so we're having fun. I'm enjoying it. I've known these girls better than really any of the girls that I've coached, in a way, because my daughter is a senior, and so mm-hmm. she grew up with them, and so it's been a pleasure coaching them, and we're having a good season, and we just hope to continue it for the next 6 weeks or so.
6 weeks, man. When you put it that way, Darren, the season's almost over. I hadn't thought of it in those terms.
Well, I know, you know, like in terms of games, we're about halfway there, but chronologically, we're a little bit past that point in terms of practices and stuff, and so it's gonna happen pretty quick here. So, we've got a peak at the right time, and hopefully, we can win some big games here, and just sort of enjoy it and try to still get better, enjoy the process.
Holiday tournament tips off for day number 3 coming up at high noon, and Darren, price of admission and just any details you want out there about the tournament.
For adults, it's $5. For students and seniors, it's $3. We've got a great concession stand. According to somebody, I was told that we have the best popcorn in Macoupin County.
I've heard that. I've
heard
it that
just a few times. We're happy to have anybody. We've got a lot of great basketball, a lot of great people there, super coaches, and so we'd certainly love to see big crowds there today and Monday.
All right. Darren Denis, the AD and girls basketball coach at Cronville, thank you so much for a few minutes of your time, sir, and see you this afternoon.
Thank you, guys, and appreciate the coverage. Thank you.
All right, that is Darren Denis with Carlinville, the 54th annual Carlinville Holiday Basketball Tournament. Again, they start at noon today in the high school gym with girls action, Gillespie against Greenfield Northwestern. Into the middle school for a 1:30 girls game, Bunker Hill against South County. Nokomis will face Staunton at 3 in the middle school, and then Carlinville and Litchfield at 4:30 back in the high school. That will be a championship semifinal. On the boys' side, Bunker Hill faces Wood River at 1:30. All these games in the high school. Litchfield and Hillsboro at 3. Carthenville and Calhoun at 6. And then Staunton will take on Gillespie at 7:30. We'll have live coverage beginning just in front of 6 o'clock tonight on WQSMI FM 106. And we'll be streaming online as well at WQSMIRadio.com. And we're happy to be joined on the phone right now by Don Borgini. Good morning, sir.
Hey, how are you guys today?
Hey, doing very good. Of course, we're going to talk to you about the turf project, which I guess from your perspective now, Coach, your heavy lifting is done because they've been out on the field during work. So what you did is completed.
Well, I don't know about that, Kim. There seems to be a lot more to do, and you know, we've got a good start. Let's put it that way. We had some goals that we wanted to take care of in December, and that was putting in new curbing around the inside of the track and installing the drainage system for the turf, and that went pretty good. So we decided that we would continue forward and talk to the company, and so we're hoping to have this thing in by April 1st.
That's awesome.
That's what we're looking at.
Quinn Steiner told me the other day, you guys are like 2 to 3 months ahead of schedule, and hopefully that will remain the case.
Well, exactly. I mean, our initial plans were to begin after the sectional track meet, which was at the end of May, and, you know, to do all the work that I just said. And, you know, the installer said, well, you know, why don't you try to get this going in December, and you'll be ahead of the game in case you get any poor weather in May, you know, where it might be raining and that, like it did last year. Yeah. And that would really push the project back, you know, because it took us a good 3 weeks to do the curbing and put the drainage system in. And if you would take that 3 weeks and put it into May and early June, and if you have any haltings because of the weather, it would have really, really stressed us as far as getting it done in August. So as where we're sitting right now, we're staging rock over at our good friends Aladdin Steel next to us. Without them and their cooperation in this project, I don't think we'd be able to do it, because they've just been so wonderful allowing us to store around 2,000 tons of rock over there, so that once we do remove the dirt here in the next couple of weeks, we can replace it with rock, and that would complete our portion of the in-kind services, and we'd be able to turn it over to the turf company at that time. So our plans are to hopefully get the dirt removed in January, replace it with rock, and let it sit and settle. And then, you know, by early March or late February, we could turn it over to the company. And they've told us that it's approximately 16 to 20 days. So that's why we're kind of shooting for the April 1st as playing girls soccer.
Talking with Don Borgini here about the new turf field that will be going in at Carlinville, and I was joking, of course, with Don, that his job in a lot of ways was over, because he was the fundraising guy, but as you can tell, he's still very involved in this project. But Don, as the fundraising went on, and I talked to you a couple different times about it off the air, it went very well from what I gathered. But did you ever get the sense that when people saw you coming, they were crossing to the other side of the street or turning off their porch lights? Like, I don't want to talk to Don.
You know, they really didn't. It was just so welcoming. I when we first started the process, and it wasn't just myself, I want you to understand that we had a committee of people who went around and talked to quite a few people in the corporate world initially is where we went. And, you know, we just had some nice conversations with them. And then a lot of times had to present to their board of directors of these companies before they could issue any money or would be willing to do that. So we went through that whole process. Like I said, we started in late February last year in March, and you know, we just, things started going well and snowballing, and before you knew it, I mean, it was reality that we were going to get a shot to do this. So, and then all the people that are doing all the in-kind work for us and really some of the heavy lifting has just been amazing. I mean, like Hayes Excavating and Ed Bates and Dave Servi with the concrete, Joe Campbell and, you know, Mike Griffith and Brian Noggle and Kelly Hudson, all those guys that did all the plumbing and stuff in Carlinville, has just been unbelievable work. We couldn't do it without those guys, without a doubt. Sean Call, our county sheriff, has been out there. I mean, his hands are dirty all the time working out there with us on his own time. So we've had, multiple retired guys. I'm sure those are the guys that are running from me. But any retired person that's Farmville that sees me coming, they're like, you're not safe from this project. So they've been out there during the day with us, you know, while school's going on. And we've just kind of been pecking away at it, Tim. And lo and behold, here we are. We're sitting in pretty good shape. So it's been fun, and I've learned a lot through the construction process, because I really didn't know anything about how to do a construction process. And a lot of these guys that are doing this have really showed me a lot of good things.
Talking with Don Borgini, and some people might not realize this is a privately funded project. This isn't a public venture. As you said, you guys went out to corporations, got the money. Just kind of talk about that process, and I don't know if you want to divulge the number of dollars that you ended up getting towards the project or not. That's entirely up to you, Don. But once again, the local businesses stepped up in a major, major way.
Well, we set out, Tim, to raise in pledges $450,000. And we knew that the rest of it that we were going to do from in-kind services. And those in-kind services, if we didn't have those, and we were actually having the company do the entire project, would have been somewhere around $800,000 to $900,000. So we basically had to raise half the amount of money. And like I said, as we went and started talking to people, it was pretty clear that they had as much passion for this project as we had from the start. And we just had a lot of companies that felt the way we did, and ours was, our purpose is very simple, that we would like to have as much student participation on this facility as we can get. And that would include our daily physical education classes, our band practicing on it daily, all of our football, all of our boys and girls soccer, and really anything else that the school would deem that they would want to do. We'd have a nice, dry, level, safe surface that could be used 12 months of the year. And, I don't know, for me personally, if it's the old athletic director coming out of me, but, how can we use facilities to service the most of our students? And that's kind of what motivated me from the beginning of this, to try to do it. Some of my friends and colleagues that are in this profession that already have these, they talk to me about just how much student use they get out of them, and community use for that matter. And it just really made me want to do it for Carmel, because Carmel is just such a great place and a great school system and tremendous leadership here with our superintendents and principals and board members. And this is just going to add to the excellence here in this school district.
I thought it was a really smart way to approach it, as this is a community project. Because when you have a grass football field, the football team doesn't even practice on it during the week. So, you're talking about basically four games, maybe five games a year. And other than that, stay off the grass. But now, as you said, soccer gets to use it. Band gets to use it. P.E. gets to use it. And, oh, by the way, the football team gets to use it.
Yeah, when you have a natural surface, it can only take so much wear and tear and continue to be a good, solid, safe surface. And these artificial surfaces are just fantastic when it comes to safety. They're soft. Like I said, they're level. They stay dry. And just can do multiple activities on them and have multiple activities at the same time on them. So, like even baseball and softball, sometimes if there's some openings there and we need to use it to get loose, take ground balls, fly balls, whatever, just have a place to go when it's warm outside, but yet the ground is still so muddy you can't get on it. We have a facility to do that. So there's just a lot of things that I think are going to be awesome to do it, to use it for, and we're really excited to get an opportunity to get it started.
Turf has come so far. The days of that, the carpet, that's long gone. The turf has just been getting better and better here as the years have gone along. And, Don, I know you had told me a couple weeks ago that this is going to be a state-of-the-art turf facility, and there's going to be a special pad. I can't remember the name of the pad that you said, but this is basically a safety pad.
Well, it is. It's called a shock pad, and there isn't one on the ground in Illinois. And they just put this in the New England Patriots facility this past summer. And it's kind of a new thing. It's about a quarter inch thick, and it also has some drainage things in it as well. But what it does, Tim, is just those of you who know that when you're using a artificial surface, that there is little small rubber pellets mixed with sand in it. And I think you'll see, like on TV when you're watching a game, you'll see like a shoe slide and stuff come up on it. I think we've all seen that.
Right.
So what this shock pad does is it's directly underneath the turf, and it just kind of limits the amount of that rubber and sand that's got to be put in there. Not that it's, you know, it's going to be a safe all thing, but again, it helps with drainage. It helps with the texture of the turf because, I mean, you don't want it real soft because you can't run as well on it, you know what I'm saying? But they've done all the safety tests with it, and it only enhances. Like when, say, for a player falls down, might hit their head on the ground, or they hit their shoulder or their elbow on the ground or their knee or anything like that, it just helps with those things. And also it helps with the drainage, like I said before. So it was an expensive item to include, but I think the company's willingness to want to get one on the ground here in Illinois was an incentive for them to, so to speak, help us with the price a little bit, so we were able to afford it. So we're definitely looking hard at that, and hopefully as this process goes through that we'll still be able to use that underneath there. So if we can't, I don't think it's any problem. Like Sacred Heart Griffin, for example, or North Mac or Taylorville, those ones that we looked at, none of those have a shock pad under them, and they're wonderful facilities. But if we can do it financially, we are certainly going to do it.
I mean, there's just a lot of turf fields around now, and I guess this is just going to become more and more common, and maybe in a number of years, the norm. I don't know.
Well, I would think so. You know, as people begin to find out ways to fund them, you know, that's the key. And I think what they'll find out is just the same things that our committee is passionate about more student use and more community use. And again, I think of our gymnasium, and that's how I always looked at it. I mean, every student in our school district uses our gymnasiums for either educational purposes or just activities, interscholastic activities, and our community uses it, for example, I mean, for many activities that they might have, and our graduation is held in there. So, you know, we'd like our outdoor activities to be facilities to be used in the same fashion, where all of our students in the building would have a little bit more access to those, rather than, like we just said before, only a handful of kids getting to use them on game day because of wear and tear. They can't sustain that.
Talking with Don Borgini. Now, let's switch it to the football side. Will the football team practice on the turf field, or will they still have practices on the practice field?
Well, yeah, I think we'll be switching back and forth. I mean, even talking to Coach Leonard up at Sacred Heart Griffin, kind of how they do it, you know, sometimes they might start out the first 45 minutes or an hour, soccer team on one half, football team on the other half, and then they'll move to the practice field, and the other one will have the full field by itself, and then they'll switch back and forth. So, you know, it takes some cooperation and some good scheduling, and I think on those practice days it'll work out just fine. On the games, I know there's going to be some conflicts on the games. I can't speak for Mr. Deneve how he's going to do things, but I know some people will start one game early at 4:30 or 5 o'clock in the afternoon, and the next one you might have a soccer and a JV game or something may start at 7 or 7:30, you know, a little bit later, so that all the kids have access to use them. But again, I cannot speak for any of those folks there. We are constructing the field and handing it over as a gift to the school district. And when we do that, then it is all theirs, and they can schedule it as how they see fit.
That is awesome. And one final thing here, just we know about how turf enhances speed. Cronville's always had speed, but Coach, I couldn't help but think what Tunde Ridley would have done at Cronville if he would have had turf.
Oh, man.
Scary.
I'll tell you, we went up and we had the very first game on the North Mac field this past year. It was a freshman game, and it happened to be Cronville versus North Mac. And it was kind of they were kind of testing everything for their first varsity game the next night. But North Mac has an outstanding freshman group of kids, and they have a lot of speed out there. And, you know, I wanted to go stand on our sideline to get a good close look at how things actually went out there on the turf during the high school games. And wow, they were flying around all over the place. Of course, we have some speed too, so we're pretty excited about that part of it. And, you know, just the fact that you might be the only team on your schedule that has turf, which will be for us in the South Central Conference next year, will be it. So we're hoping that we can find some advantages to it, since we will be playing four or five games on it as opposed to our opponents, you know. But sooner or later, everybody else will probably follow along and do the same.
Don Bergini, thank you so much for a few minutes of your time. And I guess before we let you go, is there anything you would, any people you would like to thank, anything else you would like to add about this project?
Well, I just would like to thank everybody involved. I cannot name all the names. I mean, I was just sitting here looking at a list of people who have helped us, you know, for maybe an hour at a time or 5 hours at a time, and I'm already up to 42 community people, and that's not even the list of actually the big companies who have been out there doing a lot of the work. So I think what I would like to do is maybe sometime when this thing is completed, I can come back and be a guest for you again.
Oh, yeah.
And I know that we're going to have plenty of recognition things on the turf itself for our large contributors. If you contributed $25,000 or more, you're actually you're sewn into the turf for life.
Oh, wow.
As an advertisement. So and we'll have plenty of other recognition boards for other donors as well. So there's just too many people for me to fire off right here, Tim, but I appreciate you asking me, and I cannot tell you how grateful we are to those folks for sharing the same passion for this project as we have.
Now, the question is, who will be responsible for spell-checking what's getting sewn into the turf? Because we don't want an incident like that old Snickers commercial where the old man's painting Chiefs in the end zone, he gets done. Who are the chefs?
Oh, I don't know, but it better not be me, right, Tim?
Sounds like a good job for Darren.
Either that or I may have to take it to our English department to make sure everything's good there.
Sounds good. Don Bergini, thank you so much for your time this morning, sir. We'll talk to you down the road.
Okay, guys. Have a good day. See
all right. You. Don Bergini with Carlinville. Of course, he was a big, you know, they had a committee, but Don was kind of the spearhead. He was the name at the top getting that fundraising done, and it's very exciting to think that turf is coming to Carlinville in 2020. We need a break. Back in a moment.
Back to Sports Saturday here on WSMI, and we rejoin Tim Mize.
David Jenkins, thank you so much. Hey, we were talking with Darren Deneve earlier about the Carlinville cheerleaders. The Citrus Bowl is where they are headed, down in Florida, David. I know it's a surprise that the Citrus Bowl would be in Florida.
Where else?
And not Idaho, but it is in Florida.
Maybe next year.
Maybe
they'll switch things up.
That's right. So good luck to the Carlinville cheerleaders. That will be a lifetime experience.
Yeah.
Right there. That is really cool.
And if it is, again, we were talking about this off the air, we don't know exactly where the Citrus Bowl is.
I think it's Orlando.
You said you think it's Orlando. Maybe they'll be taking a trip to Disney down there. Who knows?
I don't know.
The full tour.
I don't know why they wouldn't.
Right. You're down there.
You might as well.
Two birds.
You should look it up, David. I don't even know who plays in the Citrus Bowl. I have not. The only bowl I paid attention to is the Red Box Bowl, which Illinois will be playing California in coming up on Monday.
Fiesta Bowl's today too, sir.
On 105.3 of the Ox.
The Fiesta Bowl's today.
No one cares about that, David.
Ohio State and Clemson. I think some of us have a rooting interest.
Do you think people are concerned about that game, interested in it potentially?
Of course.
Yeah. The other semifinal is today as well. That is LSU taking on
Oklahoma. Is the Citrus Bowl?
Next week.
But is it in the year 2019 or 2020?
I'm going to say it's probably, I don't know. I'm going to guess 2019.
We'll see.
That is just a guess on my part.
You are wrong.
What else is new? What else
it's
is
one
new?
Of those New Year's Day bowls. Because I typed in 2019, and that was played on January 1st of last year.
Okay. So who is it?
Well, hold on.
Oh, you have last year's team.
Yeah, they gave me last year's. Let me look at 2020. So keep talking, and I'll find it.
Okay, you'll get there eventually.
Michigan and Alabama. Ooh, that's a pretty good matchup.
Whoa. Yeah, that'll work.
That'll do it.
That will work just fine. So good luck to the Carlinville cheerleaders. They will get to take in Alabama and Michigan. Roll Tide. I'm still taking Alabama for the championship, David. I don't care if they're not in the Final Four. Roll Tide.
That's going to be an interesting game, especially because there was some bad blood might be too much of a stretch, but a few years ago when Jim Harbaugh decided to open up some of those satellite camps in SEC country, Nick Saban was not happy with that. That'll be an interesting interaction today.
it will be. Well, not today.
Not today. I'm sorry. All these bowl games aren't played on the same day?
They're not. I know that comes.
That's the way they should
surprise.
Do it.
We'll see what happens with Illinois. 2 o'clock pregame Monday. They're playing out there in Santa Clara, the home of the 49ers for the Red Box Bowl. They'll take on California. So we'll see if the Illini can end their season on a high note. And it's just odd to still be talking
about
Illini football.
Last time they were in a bowl game, they played basically in this bowl. It was known as the Kraft Fight Hunger Bowl. No, I'm sorry. That's not true. I keep forgetting they did make one bowl game in the Tim Beckman era. But I think Ron Zook, the last Ron Zook bowl they were in was this bowl. It was the Kraft Fight Hunger Bowl. And, I don't even know what year that was. They lost that game as well. But it's been even longer since they won their last game of the season. Or being a bowl game.
Right. Yep, that comes up Monday, 2 o'clock on 105.3. Yucks. Let's switch gears back to our holiday tournament action across the state today. Coming up in Waverly, you've got the consolation semifinals this morning at 11. Carrollton faces North Green. Lincolnwood takes on Triopia. That'll be at 5 o'clock this evening. In the fifth place semifinals, North Mac against Buffalo Tri-City at 12:30. Auburn and South County at 6:30. Then in the championship semifinals at 2 o'clock this afternoon, West Central faces Athens at 8 o'clock. It'll be New Berlin against Jacksonville Rout. At Vandalia today in pool play, Cumberland and Flora at 11, McGivney and Shelbyville at 12:30, Flora takes on Patoka at 3:30, South Central against Father McGivney at 5, Pena and Ocal Valley at 6:30, with Vandalia taking on Macon Meridian at 8 o'clock. Greenville is underway over at the Duster Thomas Hoops Classic in Pinckneyville. They are playing in the 13th place bracket semifinals. They're taking on Trico this morning. If they win, they will play at 5 o'clock this evening. In the fifth place bracket semifinals over there at Pinckneyville, you've got Jersey taking on Olney. That will be a noon tip today. If Jersey wins, they'll play for fifth at 5 o'clock this evening. Championship semifinals in Pinckneyville, Woodlawn against Mount Carmel. Carlisle faces Pinckneyville, so the potential of Woodlawn and Pinckneyville in the championship there. The championship game at the Columbia Freeburg tournament has Marquette against Columbia. That will be a 6:30 start this evening.
I do have an update from that Greenville game. After one quarter, and this was about 20 minutes ago, Trico leading Greenville 20-17.
Okay, that's a real good tournament over
there.
It's a big tournament. It's all bracketed. So when you get to this stage, when you're trying to figure it all out and get it all the teams into the right places, it gets a little bit confusing.
Yeah.
You got auxiliary jams, you got main jams, you got 13 place brackets, you got 7 place brackets. I think I got it right. I think.
Well.
Close enough.
Who would know?
Me, David. Me. I would know.
Okay.
At Williamsville today in the championship semifinals, Porta against Peoria Quest at 6. Roanoke Benson faces Deer Creek Mackinac at 7:30. In the opening game of that tournament, Peoria Quest scored 117 points.
It's a lot.
It's a lot of points.
That is a lot.
A lot of points. St. Teresa Championship tonight. Riverton will take on host St. T. That will be at 7:30. Over at Collinsville today, championship quarterfinals. O'Fallon and Mundelein are underway. That started at 9. Lincoln and Belleville East play at 10:30. Collinsville and Eisenhower at noon. And then Madison will take on Southeast at 1:30. The semifinals will be at 6:30 and at 8 o'clock this evening. In girls' holiday tournament action today in Riverton, the championship semifinals in the Hawk Center, Pena and Prairie Central at noon, Porta and Tremont at 1:30. Hillsboro's on the floor right now in the fifth place semifinal at the Hawk Center, taking on Tri-City Sangamon Valley. That game tipped at 9 o'clock. Olympia will face Caneland coming up at 10:30. If the Toppers win this morning, they will play at 4:30 for fifth place. If they lose, they will play at 3 o'clock for seventh place. Then in the middle school gym at Riverton today, cross pool play here, but there's no advancement. This is just one game and the tournament's over. North Mac and Riverton at noon, Pawnee and Mount Pulaski at 1:30, Deer Creek Mackinac and Hayworth at 3, Auburn and Springfield Lutheran at 4:30. All of those games will be in the middle school gym. Championship semifinals at Lebanon tonight. Greenville faces Marissa at 6:30, Columbia against McGivney coming up at 8 o'clock. The Jersey Holiday Tournament continues today. Calhoun and Triad at noon. Jersey and Alton at 1:30. Taylorville against McClure North at 3. Marquette faces Triad at 4:30. It'll be Carrollton and Calhoun at 6, Jersey against McClure North at 7:30. And, of course, Abe's Rumble up in Springfield continues today, the top wrestling tournament in the entire state right there in Springfield. You got Vandalia, Auburn, and Porta all wrestling in the round of 16 today at Abe's Rumble in Springfield. We'll have live coverage from the Carletonville Holiday Tournament tonight, beginning at 6 o'clock with boys pool play Carletonville against Calhoun. Then at 7:30, it will be Staunton and Gillespie. The winner between the Bulldogs and the Miners will play for the championship on Monday. We'll have the girls' title game and the boys' title game from Carletonville Monday night, beginning at 6 on WSMI FM 106. Thanks to Darren Denis for joining us this morning on Sports Saturday. Also, thanks to Don Borgini for talking to us today as well about the awesome turf project that is underway at Carletonville High School. For David, I am Tim. Sports Saturday is done on your 50,000-watt sports voice of Mid-Illinois, WSMI, FM, Litchfield, Hillsboro, Carletonville, and Greenville. Happy New Year. We'll talk to you in 2020.